Okay, ladies. You know, we tried to make all of our workshops applicable to being sure-footed. And things that help us with our stability with the Lord. And a consistent prayer life is one of those things. What does it mean to have a prayer life? If you have trouble praying on a regular basis, let me assure you, you are not alone. We have an enemy who is actively working against us, having any stability in our prayer life. So let's open in prayer. Lord, my goodness, this is almost unnecessary after the lessons we've had today, Lord, but I just pray that you would use this to just refocus us on a prayer life that is focused and, can't think of the word, but beneficial, Lord, that we'll make strides in our prayer life, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you're a serious hiker, which I am not, not even close, but they sometimes use trekking poles to help them increase their average speed and their progress. And it can help establish them. It can help them maintain a consistent rhythm. That it can help them increase their traction on slippery surfaces like mud or snow or loose rock. And it can help just help them maintain their balance. And I'd tell you for sure, if I was a hiker, especially in my place right where I'm at right now, I would use some kind of trekking pole. It can be even be used as an offensive weapon if you were to run into some kind of a wild animal. It can act as a probe to give you more information than you can get with your eyes. For instance, you know, quicksand or puddles, how deep are they? So I really thought that was an appropriate example to what a prayer notebook is for me. And I use this prayer notebook ever since I started coming to Calvary 30-something years ago. Our pastor's wife started talking prayer notebook. And she had a three-ring binder type of thing where she could add and subtract pages. And this is similar to what she taught us, but it's a little more condensed because that was overwhelming for me, honestly. And also, I'd say the first 5 years, oh, she's so holy. I can never do that. You know, I'm having a hard enough time as it is. And I've often thought too that, the Lord's walking with us all through our day and we're talking to Him, shooting up prayers, but, praying without ceasing. And that's part of our walk as Christian women. Knowing that God's always with us, we can always talk to Him in any situation. It's a prayer we do in the car when we see somebody have a bad accident, or it's a prayer when we make before we make a difficult phone call, or we find ourselves in a difficult situation. We just shoot up a prayer to our, Heavenly Father. But I've noticed that the enemy does not come against that kind of prayer nearly as much as he does when we make an effort to have a focused devotional time where we actually intend to spend time seeking the Lord. And then he pulls out all the stops. The phone rings, you get a headache, you can hardly stay awake, your to-do list is running through your mind chaotically, you spill your water, the dog starts barking, and every one of those things has happened to me. I can sit down and do my Sunday crossword puzzle, which I do to keep my brain, make sure my brain's in working condition, and I don't have a single distraction. I can sit there for an hour and a half on a Sunday and, work my puzzle, and phone doesn't, nothing happens. But if I were to go out on my patio where my Bible is right now and my study things and my scriptures I'm memorizing, everything would fall apart. And that's just the way the enemy works, because he knows that time with him, with the Lord, is powerful time, and he does not want you to do it. So we do these prayer notebook things periodically, and I was really surprised people say, because I know a lot of you have heard this before, but I want to mention two things that have been really helpful for me just in prayer life, devotional life in general. And first, I've heard these for years, but if you have a place in your house, a chair, a room, a corner of your house, a closet, some people, that you use for your devotional time that's set apart for that, it's like you go there and you know what you're doing, and that's where it is, you know. And I do all my Bible study at my computer, but I cannot do my devotions in there. It's like there's too many distractions and things going on, and you know, something pops up on my computer and I got an email and I leave what I'm doing. But if I have a chair in my house where I know that's where my Bible, my devotional Bible is, that's where any devotion I'm reading, that's where my prayer notebook is, it is helpful. I swear it is. You know, one year we even had people at the retreat make their own prayer notebooks, and I don't know how people use those, but you can make them very elaborate if you're artistic. You know, they've got these journals now that you can, you know, draw pictures and color in. I'm not that person, and I have a hard enough time. I have a hard enough time just getting it done sometimes. So what I'm showing you today is what worked for me most consistently. And we did these, we actually did these when we did a study on prayer, and we did a prayer notebook along with it. And so it's very short, simple, easy to fit in my Bible. And I can use one of these, kind of fill it out as I go, and I can use it for maybe 2 years. And then things change, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years, and things change. I'm praying for different things, different people, whatever. But I've had now two of these, so maybe the last 5 years I've used this. And let's see. And so these are available at the table. I'm not trying to sell them to you, because you can very easily make one of these on your own, you know, any kind of notebook you have that will fit you and your prayer style. But I'm just sharing what works for me and why it works for me. It doesn't necessarily add a lot of time to my prayer, my quiet time. And you think it would. You might look at this and say, oh my goodness, she spends an hour a day praying. And I'd like to spend more time than I do, and sometimes it's more. Sometimes I've got a schedule I've got to keep. I've got to be somewhere. But you know, when we're not praying out loud, those thoughts can go through our head pretty fast. Really, they can. I mean, if I'm praying aloud with someone, you know, it takes a little while. But if I'm just paging through my book and reading it, and spending some time considering it, I can do it in 15 minutes. You know, I can just whip through it. So I'm just going to share some of the ways I use this as an aid. It focuses my prayer life. Some days I don't use it, but I'm always glad when I do. Because I'm one of those people, and especially these, you know, as I've gotten older, I can share this prayer request that's on my heart with my little, you know, discussion group. And the next week somebody says, oh, Debbie, how is your issue with your sister? I'm like, what issue? I forgot about that. You know, it just slips my mind because I've gone on to other issues in my life. So anyway, that's just a side note. The way I start off in my prayer notebook is with praise and thanksgiving. Psalms 100 says, come before his presence with singing. And some people may put on praise music. Some of you singers, and the music is your life. I mean, you probably could go overboard in this section, but you know what I do? I forget songs. And now if somebody starts singing, I can sing along, but I forget them. And so I've put some choruses down that I can just sing to the Lord, just myself, and I don't have to have the music, and I don't have anybody remind me. There's a song that goes, all of my life in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. Simple thing I can sing to the Lord, and I will sing forevermore for the glory of the Lord and the honor of his name. I can sing that. I can sing it 2 or 3 times, and it's not the whole song. It's not even the whole song, you know, but I do start off with that. And then if you turn the page, sometimes I've even printed them out, you know, and taped them in, some of them that I didn't want to write on. Then if the next page on page two, and I think this is also on your sheet. I'm kind of going the same way on both of them. One thing our pastor's wife used to always say is, make your prayer life a matter of prayer. And we studied Ephesians this last year, and Paul's prayers were not shallow prayers. He didn't say, man, help me make it to Ephesus in 3 days instead of five. His prayers were like, you know, help me to be filled with the knowledge of your will. Help me to walk worthy and please you. Help me to be fruitful in every good work. And that's what he prayed for others also. And so when I pray for my prayer life, I'm not going to stop praying the little, you know, immediate prayers, but I want to increase my prayer life to include prayers that are eternal benefit to others and to myself. Psalms 104:34, I pray, may my meditation be sweet to you. You know, I think I'm speaking for myself that we need a praise vocabulary. Some people, maybe it's a natural thing to them, but, you know, I listen to people sometimes. I'm not judging them, but you're so awesome, you're so great, you're mighty, you're powerful, you're so awesome. Awesome, awesome. You know, we don't have a whole lot of words to praise the Lord. And if you're going to your Bible while you're reading through your Bible, the Bible has lots of new words you can use to praise the Lord. And I've just written some of them here in my little section here. You're my King. Your greatness is unsearchable. The glorious splendor of your majesty. I want that to be part of my praise vocabulary. Your wondrous works, your awesome acts, your great goodness, you're righteous in all your ways. And if we can pray his language back to him, that's great. The next thing I do is spiritual blessings. One of my favorite things is 1 Kings 3:13. He says to God, you have given me what I have not asked. How many things, how many blessings has God given to us that we hadn't even thought to ask him for? I just, on this page I write just things that are blessings in my life. Spiritual blessings and then physical blessings. You know, we have a house. I have a car that works. I used to have a car that broke down all the time. It makes you appreciate a car that doesn't break down all the time. I can sleep at night, even if I'm hurting, my knee's hurting, I can sleep at night. What a blessing. So we do have blessings, you know, that physical blessings that we can praise God for. This morning, when I woke up at 5:30 to go to the bathroom, I glanced at the phone to see what time it was, and my kids call me when they get a package that I've sent them. I pack them a package. And they wait until I wake up because they're, you know, the opposite time zone. And so I can watch them, you know, because I put the package together and I like seeing the reactions and stuff. And one of my physical blessings is I can afford to do that. I'm sure there's so many people that cannot afford to send a package. You know, it's $85 just to bring the box to the post office. And I'm blessed that I can do that. So those are some of my physical blessings that I mentioned. And this is something Denise, our prior pastor's wife, used to do all the time, the ABCs of Jesus. This is another thing to help you with your praise vocabulary, but it makes you think. And I didn't fill this out all, I didn't fill any of this out all in one day. It's just as I'm doing my Bible study, I'm filling some of these things out. He accepts me, he's almighty, he's awesome, he's Abba, he's Alpha. And so once I've kind of filled this out, I can just take, say, E, and I can, while I'm spending time in just praising him, I'm, Lord, you're exalted. you're eternal, you're everlasting, you're excellent. And he likes to hear that. Apparently, if you read the Psalms, and what he likes us to talk about his wonderful works, and he likes us to tell him who he is. The next section is kind of the same. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As I run into things when I'm reading the Word that describes the Father, I put it down, or the Son, he's the bread of life, he's the water of life, he's a redeemer, he's our friend. And those are just pages. I don't go through them all every day, but I could just choose, Lord, I'm so glad today you're the light of the world. I don't have to walk in darkness. I can see a little bit where I'm going. I can see the next step because your word is a light to my path. You know, those kind of prayers that just help me focus. It just helps me focus, girls. Maybe you don't need that, but I do. And move on to bless his name. And I think I even added this section. Do you know how many times it talks in the Psalms about blessing his name? Says Psalms 111, holy and awesome is your name, your praise endures forever. Psalm 7, I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Psalms 20, we will remember his name. Psalms 29, give ear to the Lord, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. So if you've even done any studies on the names of God, you might know a few, for sure. He's a shepherd, you know. Some of those, you can take some of those names and just bless his name. He's your deliverer. He's your shield. He's your buckler. He's your Jehovah Jireh. He provides for you. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's your healer. So that helps me focus and spend some time praising the Lord. Because that's not our natural thing, is it? It's not natural. Unfortunately, it's something we do now that we're believers, and we want to do it, and we want to do it well because he's the lover of our souls and we love him. And you know, I can imagine God just saying, yep, you said that yesterday, you said that the day before, you know, let's do something new. I don't know that he says that, but I like to increase my praise vocabulary. So that part is praising the Lord. Doesn't take long. It doesn't have to take long. Then there's a time of surrender and confession. That's always should be a part of your prayer time. Just short. He made it easy for us, didn't he? Confess your sins, and that he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. There's a scripture in, there was the publican, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's a prayer we can pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there's any wicked way in me. O Lord, correct me, but with mercy, not your justice, not in your anger. So there's a time of surrender and confession. Sometimes that's shorter than others. Sometimes maybe that's where you need to spend your time, you know. Then we go into petition. The Bible says, let your requests be known to God. Denise always talked to about life verse. And one of my life verses is this one. This wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. But my big one is Isaiah 54:10, the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall never depart from you. Nor shall my covenant of peace be renewed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. And I pray that because I don't do well with change. You know, if the mountains depart, I don't like it. I like my mountains. Or, you know, the hills, I'm used to them, and I don't like it to be changed. I don't like everything upheaved in an upheaval. But God's mercy doesn't change. And that's just a reminder to me. But then we have spiritual petitions. I pray for, you know, leadership of the women's ministry. I pray that God would help me to hear him clearly. I would help my unbelief. I just write them down as I think of them. I may not add to that section for, you know, a month or whatever, but I'm reading in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and I think this is in Jeremiah or Isaiah. It was in one of those books. He repeated it like three times, "Help me to choose that which you delight." And I thought, that was such a great prayer. I'm going to put that in my prayer notebook. Help me to choose the things that delight you, Lord. It talks about, she talked about the Proverbs 31 woman. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and on her tongue is love, kindness. I pray that for myself. That's a spiritual petition. Lord, I just open my mouth only when there's going to be wisdom coming out, not some of this foolishness that I can spew. Put that law of kindness on my tongue. Then we have physical petitions, pray for your diet, of course. I pray for understanding. If you've got a job issue, pray for, I was praying for, speaker for the women's retreat. And I had to find a speaker for this and a speaker for that. That's a constant prayer. We had a couple moments of panic that we weren't going to fill up the retreat and, go in the hole. It wouldn't have been a tragedy, but, I was praying for attendance at the retreat and the girls would be able to come. So those are just some of my personal petitions. If you have a, pimple on your nose. You can pray for that. That's between you. The Lord knows, for Pete's sake. Then I added a section, forgive those who sinned against me. And forgiveness, I'm sorry, but that's one of our issues, girls, and we need help. We cannot forgive on our own. And so I was talking to someone, we really can't forget on our own. So it's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit to help us really, really forgive and then want to bless those people. The next one, struggles and trials. Some of these are general, and this probably is an area where I would date it. This is what I'm praying for today, Lord. I'm having a struggle with, getting the dog to go outside, instead of on the carpet or whatever, whatever. And then I can see where he's answered. But I don't, personally, I don't necessarily do this where I date every prayer and then I go back and see where I've answered it. I just want to be focused in my prayer life. And this is especially where it helps me is the intercession because, if my son's on my heart, I'll pray for him. And then my daughter and my husband and 15 people get neglected that because I'm focused on my son. That's the one thing on my mind. So this one, I put down, went through it and put down everybody that was important to me in my family or extended family or people I consider family. So I have my daughter, my son and daughter-in-law. I have my Megan, my grandchildren, Megan's future husband, don't tell her, but I've got a whole section on him. He better get here quick. I pray for the women's ministry. I pray for my husband. I pray for a couple of kids that have lived in our homes at various times that, they're now part of my family in a way that, but I can buzz through these in a hurry. Megan, whatever's on my heart for Megan. And it focuses me because then I can look at it and say, oh yeah, because I might have forgot. I don't forget the people, but I might have forgotten to pray for them if I don't go through it. I don't know if you're like me. So then sometimes I have a sticky I put in the back because I don't have enough pages for everybody in my life. And, there's people like, Tammy that just got here. Her son has been in the hospital, and I put her in here. So I remember to pray for her regularly. Otherwise, I remember when a prayer chain came through or something, You just forget. Maybe you don't. But you're here, so I'm telling you. What I do. Then the final thing is listen. because we want to take time for God's response. And I actually don't have that filled out, because lots of times when God speaks to me, I will, write it in my Bible and date it, and it just depends how I do that. But let's see. Going back to, just that time of praise, Jesus told the Samaritan woman, "You know very little about the one you worship." And I wonder if Jesus would say that to us. You know very little about the one you worship. We want to know him, and we need to get in his word, and then we need to be speaking it back to him. You're the God of, you're almighty, you're the bread of life. We need to know who he is. Let's see. What do you worry about? I'm a fretter. I admit it, and lots of times I go to bed and I'll fret about things. To me, fretting is a little teeny bit better than worrying, but God probably doesn't think so. I don't know. But I write the things down that I'm fretting about, and then God says, cast those cares upon you, upon me. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and cast your cares upon me. I've been known to write out. I don't do it very often because I don't write journals. But if I'm really burdened about something, I'll just write the whole prayer out, put it in my prayer notebook, and reread it, and try to just give it over to him, because somehow I take it back, And I'm going to finish early, I do believe. I'm sorry, I think the time we take in our prayer time, we need to be quiet before the Lord too, because we talk, and sometimes we don't listen. And he is a wonderful counselor, that's one of his names. And we can come to him with problems and lay him at his feet and then go about our business, and we don't listen to see what counsel he gives us. Isaiah 30:21 says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." Does the Lord speak to you about a major decision or direction in your life? Then write it down, date it, and see if it comes to pass, or see if you need to obey something. I just hope this has been helpful to me. It has, just using this little book, thumbing through it sometimes. Sometimes I have more time in the morning and in my special prayer spot. And then sometimes I've got to be somewhere at 9 and I overslept. Or, there's just times that you are busier, and I'm not saying that as an excuse, but you can still do this. That's what my whole point is. This is not a major event that you have to set aside 2 hours of your day to do. You can sit down and pray through your prayer notebook, and you can go pretty fast. I'm not saying you have to, and I'm not saying it's all. I mean, I like the times when I can spend quality time just in the praise section and really consider his works and consider who he is. But sometimes I just buzz through it, and your thoughts go fast. You can do it. Prayer is not a mystery. It's just communicating with the one who loves us, the one who created us, the one who desires to have fellowship with us. And we have the privilege of coming to him anytime, talking to him, sharing with him our deepest needs. And he's not looking for those memorized prayers and repetitious prayers. I think if my kids just came to me and said the same thing every time, trying to get me to do things for them, I don't know. I think he just wants us to be honest with him and serious and thoughtful. And when we're praising him, he wants to know it came from our heart, even though it's maybe short, even though we're not spending 2 hours doing it. We're changed when we spend time with him. And that's what I was hoping this workshop would do, is just encourage you to, do something. This is not the end all. This works for me because it's simple and fits in my schedule and fits in my Bible, and I don't have to go get a notebook and I don't have to add pages or subtract pages, but that's just me. But I always pray, prayer will change your life. Prayer will transform you if you do it. And the prayer that transforms you is not the prayer we're shooting up as we're running to the grocery store. That will maybe change things, but it doesn't transform you. I think it's sitting in God's presence that transforms you. So let's pray. Lord, this is a lot, and some people it might overwhelm them, Lord, just to see these pages, but it's just a one day at a time, our relationship with you, growing in our knowledge of you as we walk with you day by day, Lord. And Lord, help, we just pray for our prayer life. We pray that it wouldn't be shallow and meaningless, that it would have depth, Lord, and that you would use our prayer life to change us, to change situations, to change relationships, Lord. We just thank you that we're praying to a God who is good. We're praying to a God who is all-powerful. Nothing is impossible for you, Lord. And we pray that you just use us in our prayer life. In Jesus' name, amen.